Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Been a rough few days for me. You know, I've been working, texting with a mom of a young lady that's pretty far along in the pregnancy, looking for a home. I physically had to do a code red, code pink to a servants agency on a situation I thought I had to report. I know someone that's driving around, has been driving around trying to find shelter for a 4 or 5 year old unaccompanied youth. And this, police say a 20-year-old woman was found dead Sunday morning outside the Chico Area Recreation and Park District on Valambrosia Avenue. The woman appeared to have died from a drug overdose, police said. The Butte County Coroner's Office identified the woman as Harley Young of Chico. This is from the Chico Enterprise Record. I knew Harley, and I have since she was a runaway on the streets of Chico. I let her couch surf several times and showed her the best way I knew and could that I cared. It pained me every time I saw her, particularly so the time I consoled her the morning after she was viciously assaulted, bruised, and battered, and hiding her face. I chose to remember Harley the morning I brought her coffee in the jungle when she was a runaway and how grateful she was. We hugged, we had a bond, and I'm devastated. Bless everyone that loved and cared for her the best way they knew and the best way they could. All right, Gamal Mesh here for the January 25th Without a Roof radio program. Our whole program is structured around a presentation that was presented by Lori Kutsuna, Executive Director of the Jesus Center here in Chico, California, and that was made at a Chico City Council meeting on January 17th. The title was Chico Reducing Homelessness, an Update and Discussion. So I have, by the airing of the show, written an open letter with some insights and my comments on that particular presentation and some things that I think are lacking and need to be expanded upon. And I will expand upon those by actually telling you our guest this evening. We have Kathleen Williams from Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee, and she's going to be talking about legal and civil and human rights and an organization that she has been working with for years called Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee. We have Bob Erlenbush, Board President, National Coalition to End Homelessness, who gives some really great insight on the physical presentation itself. Lisa Currier talking about a wonderful housing solution along with a partnership with Chico Housing Action Team. We end the show with a wrap from Paul Bowden talking about a survey that Without a Roof organization is going to be championing that is actually going to be physically interviewing people experiencing homelessness in the downtown business area. And we're going to start off with Kathleen Williams here on People Powered Radio. Gamal Mesh for the January 25th Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. My distinct pleasure to actually have on the line from Sacramento, California, Kathleen Williams, and she represents Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee, and she's going to give a little insight on that. But I know, Kathleen, you do have some ties into some legal services down there in Sacramento, and you actually won a pretty big lawsuit against the city of Sacramento and in the county back in 2011-2012, did you not?
That's right. It was really an unprecedented case. We must have had 20 homeless people testifying, and we created a higher moral ground because the Constitution does protect property. It may not protect the right to rest or the right for shelter or even education, but it does protect property. And so where the police are confiscating and discarding property, they are breaking the basic protections in the Constitution under the Fourth Amendment and the Due Process Clause under the 14th Amendment. So the Constitution can be important when you are dealing with the abusive conduct of the police on the street.
think it was for like $500,000 for our listeners just joining.
It was. Yeah. It was more.
It was more. There you go.
We had a claims procedure, and people came in and had to, you know, file a claim, and then they were compensated. It was great. It also was a great organizing vehicle, which is why we originally brought the case.
So maybe a little bit about your background, Kathleen Williams, for the legal services that you do in Sacramento, and then to kind of segue into SHOCK, which we're going to be talking about, Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee.
Well, I've been an attorney for more years than I would like to state. I've done a lot of labor law. In these years, I'm working with Mark Maron, who's a well-known civil rights attorney down here in Sacramento and happens to be my husband. And I am continuing to work, but mostly around civil rights. And SHOCK, the Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee, I call it my political home, and it's other people's political home as well. And by that I mean it's a place and it's a group where you can go, and the things that you really care about and that are being threatened now can be advanced and defended and understood. So homeless people with their vulnerability are at the heart of something that's unfolding in this country. So I feel very privileged to be part of SHOCK. I'd like to see SHOCK type organizations spring up everywhere, like CHECO. You could call it CHECO Homeless Organizing Committee. Be pronounced the same. But it would be a little different C. It would be CHOCK. But what it is, it's a group that meets weekly. And that's very important. We have a real rhythm and commitment. And our mission is to amplify the voice of homeless people so that we are heard. And we have an influence on the various laws and practices that are creating this tremendous harm. So we work around housing. We work with the Sacramento Housing Alliance, who is our fiscal sponsor. We work around civil rights, protection of people on the street. We are at the city council. We are in the legislature. And we also read and study and discuss so that we can see what's coming down the pike.
Yeah, it's been my real pleasure over the years. It's been about a year since I've been, but I've been to 3 or 4 of your meetings. You know, it was fun being over time. So it's over a 2-year, 3-year period. And I would say for our listeners, the thing that really, it all impressed me, but it was so impressive to see the voices of the homeless folks, you know, kind of landing for as long as you needed to let people vent and talk and get their issues out. But the coolest one was the last one I was there, where there was a whole kind of session around, what are we going to say at city council tonight? Maybe you've got some good memories around those kind of talks, because those were really, really cool. Yes. People got excited. They had something that they were working towards that same evening.
Right. Well, we've really focused on the repeal or amendment of our what's called our anti-camping ordinance, which criminalizes sleeping on the street. In other words, it is a crime to lay your head down in Sacramento. And when I've deposed the police officers who are responsible for this, they said, if you want to lay a coat down, you know, just sleep for a couple hours, we probably won't bother you, but you can't have a tent. So we're really looking at survival issues, really looking at, can you make it through the winter? Can you make it through the summer with the insects and the drought? And we, as you know, Bill, we just had someone die.
Yeah, I saw it.
A homeless person die at City Hall. There's an overhang. There's kind of a way that there's a portico. That person was resting there, and some people went to check and said, he's not breathing. So this is an example of the toll that it takes on our communities. This is the cost of homelessness. And the social costs are extreme. We have no bathrooms. It's actually looked upon as something that's not necessary, because the idea is to force homeless people further underground, further out of town. And as you know, later in this week, there'll be the homeless count, where groups will be going out and participating in counting people. So that will happen on the 25th. So that's going to be happening all over the country. And, you know, homelessness ticks up, ticks down, but the overall trend, from the rising rents, from the profound unemployment that is really a result of changes in the economy, where, yeah, you could work in fast food, but the kinds of jobs that we used to have are simply gone, and that is reflected in automation. You know, so we really try to talk to people about, these are the factors. It's not your fault. It's not like the million people in this country who are homeless. It's not that it's their fault. Of course, Some may have fallen by the wayside. Some may be mentally ill. Some may have turned to drugs or substances to get by. But how can you say that a million people living outside isn't a social condition that is created because the government that we elected is not looking after our community and saying, we need some public housing. We need some subsidized housing. In fact, New York, as you probably know, has launched a new program of subsidized housing. So we are asking the community and the government at every level to start looking at homelessness as a social condition that is reflecting big changes in our economy. Big changes.
There was a lot of talk at our last city council meeting and in the lead up, and this catchphrase, political will. And I wanted to stop real quick on what it takes for political will, as I've seen here in Chico, elsewhere, and what communities are successful. And really, there's like three key things. One, we talked about homeless community, their voices, and in their engagement. But there's right. also this real critical need. We've talked about this a little bit, civil and human rights, legal services, connecting people that have, you know, cases and standing, and faith community. So what would you add about getting the faith yeah. community involved and maybe a little bit more around the legal services and the importance of standing up for people's rights and maybe filing
yeah.
lawsuits?
With the lawsuit question, the first step is to reach that community and bring them together, because you can go to small claims court, but the most effective thing is going to be a class action. So to do that, there has to be a lot of organization to bring people into contact. And so the first step is not usually just filing the lawsuit. The first step is doing the outreach to find out, you know, who is in that community that is having their property taken or is being abused by the police. That's the first step. Now, the faith community plays a very important role at a lot of different levels. In Sacramento, for example, work with the county to open churches on these terrible weather nights, so it's a combined effort. But I think that the faith community can be reached because what we're trying to create is a new moral center where people are not just looking away or accepting this level of dehumanization and hardship. And this is going to be very important now with the election and the rise of a really openly fascist ideology that devalues human life and elevates corporate power. But we're going to see the safety net in tatters. And that's why we have to come back with a strong moral message that this is not acceptable. And you may or may not know, this has already started in North Carolina over a period of years. And Reverend Barber has started the moral movement and the Moral Mondays. And tens of thousands of people in North Carolina have been out on the streets. So we bring all these forces together and energize them with a vision that human rights are a moral imperative.
And it builds a stronger and more healthy community for certain. I did have a nice follow-up with Paula Lamazzi about the idea of, you know, if we're going to start our own little shock.
Oh, very good.
Here in Chico. And she really liked the whole idea of having formerly homeless folks, you know, putting together a little page that we would submit, maybe 1,500 words a month, and get some of those papers up here. So what would you say towards the whole, the street journal that you've been such a big part of and such a writing force, and, you know, how you see that impacting the will and the way here on the streets of Chico when we get them up here?
Oh, great. Okay. Well, it has two sides, and, you know, it's an international phenomenon, and there's an organization that works internationally to support what are called street newspapers. So it has two parts. One is what we call micro-enterprise. It is a way to make money on the street and in a way that is very beneficial to the public. So our folks, our vendors or distributors, pay 10 cents a paper, and then they can sell it from anywhere from $1 to $5. And that actually can create a pretty decent income stream. We have hundreds of distributors per year. At any one time, we probably have 30, probably a core of about 15 or 20 that sell it every month. So that's very key. But the other thing about essentially a community newspaper is you can bring people together as they read these articles about the situation, what is impacting the people who are homeless, what the latest news is. But actually, we covered the fight for 15. We cover immigration. Obviously, we're going to be covering the marches that just happened around the inauguration. And we see ourselves as a community and movement paper. So that's very beneficial. I mean, I love the Sacramento News and Review. I think they've done a really good job. But we can be more focused. And our pages, we try to fill them with poetry. We have a cartoonist. We're building a group of writers who can bring their experiences, just the day-to-day struggle and human interest side of being homeless, and, you know, uplift the community around that and build that support.
Uplift and inform. I'm really looking forward to working with you folks on that because, you know, I've submitted articles
too,
to Homeward
Bill.
And other street newspapers, and it's a wonderful, wonderful resource. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to kind of land and tell City Council. This is a message for City Council from Kathleen Williams in Sacramento, California. What would you say to City Council, Chico, California?
Call upon the community to unite around the need to protect homeless people. That could involve establishing a safe place for people to camp. It could involve opening up public spaces, warehouses, and other areas where people can be protected. It can be working with service providers. It can be making sure that people know that just because you're poor, really poor, just because you've struggled in your life and are physically disabled or mentally ill or even addicted in some way, that doesn't mean you're less than a valuable and precious human being and, for the religious, a child of God.
I really appreciate that, Kathleen Williams. I know we'll be speaking more as the months and years go by, and it's just a pleasure to know that we've got such strong people down in Sacramento helping our folks experiencing poverty, the worst form of violence.
Yes, a treat for me too, Bill. Thanks so much for calling.
My distinct pleasure for the January 25th Without a Roof radio program. I have on the phone for a pre-record Bob Erlenbush, who is the executive director of the Sacramento Regional Coalition to End Homelessness, and he's also the board president of the National Coalition to End Homelessness. So welcome once again to KZFR 90.1 FM, Bob Erlenbush.
Thank you for inviting me.
What would you add or expand upon as far as the work you've been doing recently and in the past around homelessness, Bob Erlenbush?
Currently, one of our city council members, Councilmember Warren, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, made a presentation towards the end of the council meeting. He asked the city attorney and city manager to come back with a proposal on a moratorium on the anti-camping ordinance that we have opposed for years. And so we're starting to set up meetings with city council people over trying to garner their support. Not only for that, but we also want to add homelessness to the current Sacramento City Non-Discrimination and Equality Municipal Code. That would, all the civil rights categories that we're used to, don't discriminate based on age, religion, sex, disability, gender, sexual orientation, sexual identity, all the rest of it. We want to add homelessness so the city and its vendors would not discriminate against homeless people and all the other categories in housing, in employment, and delivery of health care. So that's what we're focused on.
So in other words, you're busy, Bob. Bob is busy and all your friends
just
down there.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit busy. I love it. I sent Bob the Reducing Homelessness in Chico, California, the presentation that was presented to City Council by Lori Kutsuna, Executive Director of the Jesus Center here in Chico, California. I sent it with no prompts, and I'd like to take it from here, from the one word that you had used to kind of sum it up. You said it was pretty flimsy. So why don't we go from there and explain why it's flimsy and what you'd like to see in that report that wasn't there?
It was very, very thin on any kind of real plan. I mean, just even starting off, to their credit, at least they said that homelessness is a human, economic, and community crisis, but nevertheless, they left off the moral crisis, the morality around a homeless crisis. But more specifically, they identified seven different things that they did in 2006. One of them was a one-day event, and three of them were meetings. The only real thing that they did in 2016 that I could figure out from the report was the ground breaking on Valley View Apartments, which didn't have any specificity. How many units is that? What level of affordability? What percent of the units are going to be for homeless or extremely low-income people? That's what I meant by flimsy. Really, no detail whatsoever. And then I thought it was a little shocking that in the section, who did they want to have in the conversation, listed you know, the usual suspects, but oddly left off, and pretty shockingly left off talking with currently and formerly homeless people, left off housing and homeless advocates, and left off the faith-based community.
Yeah, I thought it was shocking because I went to a they showed this at the Homeless Task Force, and there was a lot of landing points around, you know, engaging the homeless community, which they're not physically doing at the physical level that they need to do. So,
right.
You know, everyone kind of agrees. But when I kind of question it, well, that's not what the city council needs to know. Well, I think that's exactly what the city council needs to know, what it's going to take to solve this. What do you think, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. You know, over my 30 some odd years, you know, we've done a number of surveys of homeless people. One of the ones that we did a few years ago when the Oprah Winfrey show came out and was filming, you know, the tent city, the big tent city in Sacramento, is we went out and surveyed people why they're there. We had a pretty strong sense of why they are. And overwhelmingly, people said, well, I'm outside because of the shelter rules. If you're a mom with a teenage boy, you're outside. If you're a couple, you're forced to break up, and most couples, either straight or gay or transgender or whatever, don't want to split up for obvious reasons. And then if you have a pet, you're outside. So, you know, your community's report talked a lot about data collection, but didn't talk about surveying homeless people as to why they're outside in the first place, which was surprising.
They've actually got some surveys around the point in time. So the point in time is canvassing, but they have a survey around it. And for the first time in Butte County, they're actually going to be asking some criminalization questions around.
Good. Well, that's positive.
Yeah. The other thing that was it should have been more positive. We had feedback on this, you know, and I appreciate that they put this together and it was on a short string period of time. But we had conversations in the Homeless Task Force, Bob, that were really like, people are going, why didn't we talk about this housing? Why didn't we talk about that? So I'm going to put together a little minute or two, and I'm interviewing one of the most main accomplishments we've had in the last month, Bob, is we gave a key to a lady that's got a crisis care and triage. She's on the street helping mentally ill homeless people, but they're in a home. They're in a supportive home, master lease program. You know, that wasn't
right,
in there.
Good.
And there's a bunch
good.
Of other things. So I agree with you, and I'm going to spend some airtime kind of talking about these housing programs that they didn't talk about.
It's really critical.
It is.
San Francisco Department of Health actually has a model program. They got tired of years ago, the San Francisco Health Department got tired of discharging people to the streets, so they started master leasing apartments. So now people come straight out of the hospital and have a place to go. So, I mean, there's lots of very creative things going on up and down the state and around the country, and, you know, it sounds like your community left off a few of the model programs that really end and prevent homelessness for people in your community.
Let me prompt this question up for you. They asked the person presenting, what kind of data might you need that you don't have? And the lady that was presenting from the Jesus Center, Lori Kutsuna, executive director, said, well, there's a whole discussion around whether people are flocking here for services or not. And I'm I haven't got any data empirical otherwise. And I'm like, oh my God, if you just looked at the data you have, you're not going to need to be asking this question. So what would you say about kind of continuing to think that that's a question that hasn't been answered?
I mean, I've heard the magnet theory for 30 years, and it just doesn't hold up. The example that I think is pretty classic is, you know, if you look at the general assistance level in San Francisco, and then right across the bay, the general assistance level for Oakland is quite a bit lower. If the magnet theory was true, why don't people just get on the BART and come over to get general assistance? I mean, it just doesn't hold up. 85% of the people, homeless people in Sacramento, from their surveys, are from Sacramento. People don't flock to communities for programs. They went to high school here. They might have gone to college here. They know where the emergency room is. They know where what local grocery store will let them in and what one's going to kick them out. I mean, on and on and on. You know, that whole magnet theory just is laughable. But on the other side of it, as a way to refute that, go ahead and ask your question of residency. You're going to find overwhelmingly somewhere between 75% and 90% of homeless people experiencing homelessness in Chico are from Chico. They're not coming here from, Oklahoma.
If you were to talk to city council right now and say, irregardless of this report, what would you say in 1 minute to city council members that might be listening of what we should accomplish first and be looking at right now?
If you don't have one, create a Chico or Butte County Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Fund it to the scale of the crisis in your community and stop criminalizing people experiencing homelessness.
It's my pleasure, as always, to talk to Lisa Currier, who is with the organization Crisis Care Advocacy and Triage. Welcome to KZFR 90.1 FM, Lisa Currier.
It's always a pleasure. Hey, I have to tell you, I have some updates on the house that Chat and I put together. It's pretty incredible. We have three schizophrenics living in a home that actually like each other as human beings. You know, they're all getting along. They're learning how to cook. We're giving them lots of opportunities. And we're going to bring in some programs starting in the next couple weeks, which is pretty exciting for us.
You said you had a cute little story, because I know this house has been going for like 2 or 3 weeks, so this is a fairly...
Almost four. The deal is that, you know, everybody lives in there, and it's a sober living environment, and they also are all taking their medication. So what we do is we're teaching them life skills. So we're teaching them how to manage their money. We're teaching them also how to cook. They're really enjoying it. So the other day, I get a call from one of the clients, and she says to me, she goes, Lisa, she goes, we have a situation at the house. And so I'm on the phone, and I'm thinking, oh, no, a situation, right? She says, one guy and I are sitting here, and we don't know how to change the TV channels, and the other guy won't show us how.
There you go. That's a cute
the
little
situation.
You know, we're trying to get some housing stories. I know that you were there. They did the presentation on, you know, accomplishments for 2016. And I thought this was one of the ones related to housing, you know, and the other one was Michael Medeiros from Stairways, who opened a transitional age youth. It's called the Tay House. I just really wished that they'd talked a little bit more about the success stories. So I'm giving you a little bit of airtime around that here on the People Powered Radio.
Well, you know, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Not only that, but we got to get more social services out there to help these people in these houses. It's not just about housing. It's about finding the solutions for them to become better people.
Boom. Thanks a lot, Lisa Currier.
All right, Bill. Thanks.
I am pleased to have on the phone Paul Bowden, Executive Director of Western Regional Advocacy Project. And he's going to talk about a data collection project that we're going to be kicking off here in Chico in the coming months around doing some surveying in the Business Improvement District around folks that are experiencing homelessness. And that's all I'm going to say and let you take it from there, Paul, and let folks know what they expect with this survey and what we should do with the results, man.
Okay, well, I mean, the survey is being done for a very simple reason. If you're going to be putting out a report, as we are, on an issue that relates to poor people and homeless people, you better get out there and actually talk to poor and homeless people, which clearly, from looking at the Downtown Chico Business Association documents and looking at the police presentations, you know, it seems that everybody's talking about these people. I love the police map that I saw. You know, apparently homeless people are coming from all over the country just to go to Chico. Everyone's talking about them. No one's talking to them. So what we do is we talk to as many as we can with the same consistent set of questions, document those responses, and then say, this is what the people being impacted by these policies and these laws and these enforcement programs and these volunteer security guards and these armed security guards all around panhandling and loitering as the top criminal offenses that you claim are from somewhere else. This is what they actually have to say. And that way too often gets lost in the debate and the dialogue and, you know, the often racist and classist comments that are made about folks. Well, really, what do they have to say about this issue, since the issue is about them?
From the council meeting, there's like they're saying they're getting complaints, but we need to quit focusing on people that are complaining and aren't experiencing it, man, and start focusing on people that are actually homeless and need some help.
Well, at least if you're going to talk about these people, as they call them, the homeless, the travelers that are coming here to destroy our community, talk to these people, man. Don't just talk about them. Don't make assumptions about them. Talk to them. It's very simple. It's very real. And it's very important because we know from the documents we've seen, surely the business community is talking to the city. Surely the city's contracting with the business community group to do studies on these issues, to make policy recommendations, to push proposals. That's happening. And they're obviously talking to the folks that have made it very clear that they don't want these people again, these people, in the downtown area. And you know what's funny? A lot of their literature is, we want to make downtown a safe, friendly place for people to come and hang out in. Well, apparently what they mean is for certain people to come and hang out in. And the way we're going to make it clean and safe is by getting rid of other people. And once they're gone, then it will be a nice community.
They added beautiful
to it.
That's
not cool.
It's beautiful, clean, and safe now, Paul. You got me all excited, man, because I love, you know the work I do. I really get a lot of satisfaction about giving the voice to the voiceless and getting out there and talking to folks. I can't wait to do the survey, man.
Awesome.
All right, that does it for the January 25th edition of the Without a Roof Radio program. Make sure you tune in next week. We do have an open letter to Chico City Council, different service providers, and actually the whole Chico City at large. And next week, we're going to be extending offers to elected officials, city leaders, and beyond to get folks that will come on this show and talk about what we just discussed here and get some of their insights on what they see as necessary and first steps to eliminating this moral and very human issue of people living on the streets of Chico, California. So that'll be next Wednesday, February 1st at 5 o'clock p.m. KZFR 90.1 FM. People Power.